be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily or truly, I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know who you are. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And speaking of that, there, you know, this last week or two here, there's an awful lot of guys, some of whom you may have even listened to before, who put their reputation on the line there and said, we were going to have the second coming of Christ, at least the rapture, during that blood moon. It didn't happen. It's amazing how folks will just get all caught up. And they'll say, well, this and this and this and this is in the Bible. I know that is. But he very plainly, you can't argue the point that he said, you're not going to know the day nor the hour. You're not going to know the day. How clearer can it be? And yet somehow, yeah, but I got it all figured out. He's going to let me in on something. Well, if the Father only knows, not even the Son of Man knows, why is he going to let you in on it? You don't know something more than Jesus does? I don't think so. So just listen, you got to be careful. You know, Satan came talking to Eve, and he quoted Scripture, but not all of it. He came quoting Scripture to Jesus in Matthew, but not all of it. And so just because somebody names the name of Jesus, quotes a few Scriptures, does so with a poise and a presentation that makes it look like he knows what he's talking about, you better line it up with the book, because if it doesn't line up with the book, just throw it out in the trash, because I don't care how pretty it is, it's still trash. So just be careful with that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to do a part two on a wake-up call. A wake-up call, part two. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for speaking to us, and Lord, we need to just take your word for what it is, your word. And Lord, sometimes I think we know more than you do. We try to figure things out and do this and do that, and we think we got it all figured out. Sometimes I think we're wanting to be many masters, teachers, not even knowing what we're talking about, but we want a following. And Lord, we got to be so very, very careful with that. But Lord, those things that we do understand, may we stand very firmly on those. Speak to our hearts here this evening. Thanks for what you're going to do, and may your Holy Spirit move in Christ's name. Amen. There's as someone said, they said something to a preacher. I can't remember now. You probably know, you've heard the quote before, but they said, Lord, there's so many things in the Bible that bothers me. I just don't understand. They bother me. And he says, well, it's not the things that I don't understand that bother me. It's the ones that I do understand. Those are the ones we need to tend to. If the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to you yet, then just keep moving on with the stuff he has revealed to you. Walk in the light that you have been given already. Alrighty, on our paper there tonight, we've been talking about the second coming of Christ, and we talked about, of course, Christ is sovereign. Christ has a plan. He came to the Jews. He laid it all out. He showed himself sovereign of the natural and the supernatural. He is God all over, and they refused him. And he finally said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how many times would I have just taken you under my wing as a hen takes her chickens under her wing? But you wouldn't. You would not. You wouldn't have it. You know, it's amazing how many times, even when we kind of know in our heart that God's right, we just say no. Just say no. And there comes a time where God says, okay. You go to Romans 1, he says he gave them over to vile affections. I heard a fellow, it wasn't necessarily somebody that I listened to a lot, but I heard someone say the other day, on the radio, they said, well, someone was so scared that they had committed the unpardonable sin. Well, the unpardonable sin is really the point where you said, I don't care what God says, I don't care what the Holy Spirit's convicting, I'm going to do as I please, I refuse The work is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I want. Well, the fact is, it's the Holy Spirit that reproves a man of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So if you're scared that you might have committed the unpardonable sin and you're afraid of God's judgment, then you haven't. Because the Holy Spirit's still telling you, fear God. The devil says, you don't have to fear God. He doesn't have, don't worry about him. Yeah, you're fine all the way you are. If you don't care, then you might want to be careful. You might want to be careful. Number one, last week we found God's sovereign plan. It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, to have an encounter with the bridegroom. The kingdom of heaven, it's the realm of the sovereign, the realm of the kingdom of God. And it says there was 10 virgins. That means the full assembly. He's talking about all of us who are the bride. You're supposed to be the bride. We call ourselves the bride. How many brides were there? How many actual brides did we end up with in our parable? 5. The other 5 never made it in. They could have. Apparently they were offered, but they never made it in because they didn't have any oil in their lamp. The virgins were maidens, unmarried daughters, not yet joined to their husband. And these are all who await the coming of the bridegroom. The lamps that they have was the candlestick, the holder of the light. We talked about that last week. My little kerosene lamp is the holder of the light. It's not the light. It's the holder of the light. We are a holder of the light. But if we're not saved, we have no light in us. Jesus is the light of men. And it was life, and life was the light of men. If we don't have Christ, we do not have that light. We do not have that Holy Spirit living in us. Of course, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is often pictured by the oil. The Holy Spirit is pictured by the oil. So we've got this, the wedding here is a picture of the physical joining of Jesus and the bride. Number two, we had the prognosis of these 5. We had the 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 wise ones were thoughtful. They were thinking about it. The foolish were heedless. It was the word you're missing there. Heedless. Absurd. Listen, there's an awful lot of people who don't take their walk with Christ seriously. There's a lot of people who don't take church seriously. Now, when I say church, I'm using that in a good way, in a good term. The assembly, the called out believers. If you're saved and you're part of the bride of Christ, you're sitting there with oil in your lamp because if you're saved, you're saved. The Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. So you're His. Now we may be sleeping and slumbering like the rest of them here. We should be doing something, watching for Him. But instead, they were sleeping and slumbering. But there were some. At least they had oil in their lamp. But at least they're going to go with the bridegroom. I sure hope you got oil in your lamp. I hope you're saved. I hope you got that settled. If there's any doubt, you ought to fix that tonight before you leave. Because the fact is, the midnight cry could happen tonight. So we better be ready. Now, the prognosis was there were some who were thoughtful, some were heedless. Letter C, both of these groups are present in the church today. We've got folks who have come to church. There are folks in every church, I guarantee you, who are not saved. They've probably been walked down the aisle. They answered yes to all the right questions. They've been baptized by water. They've joined the church. Their name's on the roll, and they're not going. Why? Because it didn't come to point to realize you got to have oil. You don't have any light, you don't get in. You've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Letter D, they were all professors, but some of them were actually possessors. There were some professors. Everybody who joined a church is professing to know Christ as Savior. And the fact is, you say, well, you let them in. I know. Well, shouldn't they go through a bunch of classes before they come in? We can do that, but the fact is, that's not going to make the difference. You're saved by grace through faith. It's just as simple. A little child can do it. That's what we're part of the church. You get in here, that's when you start teaching to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what we're doing tonight, so that's what we always do when we get together. And so we can be a professor of, in other words, we can profess to have Christ, but do we possess? Letter E, some just enjoy the process of the wedding. There's a lot of folks, talked about last week, they just enjoy being part of the group. This year, we're part of church. Next year, we're going to be part of the Lions Club. Next year, we're going to be part of the Little League group that, that meets on Sunday mornings. And next year, we're, I think we're going to do NASCAR for a while. And then we're going to, I'm not saying any of those things are necessarily bad, but they don't substitute for a real, true relationship with Jesus Christ. And so some people just enjoy the process. They like to get dressed up. Like, I've seen folks who will come, and about the only time they come is when they're going to serve. Now, I'm glad to have them serve. But between the times they serve, you hardly can find hiding a hair of them. Well, you're beating that. No, listen, for their sake, we need to be under the hearing of the Word of God. If we're not filling ourselves up with the Word of God on a regular basis, we are going to run dry. And I hate to say it, but it makes me wonder sometimes. It really makes me, when I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, and I know that I can get to be a little bit much after a while, and after you heard me for Sunday school and then for church and for Sunday night and then Wednesday night, I know you can get tired of me. But as long as I keep getting the Word of God out, you all at least want to come and get a nugget of Him, even if you get tired of the dispensary here. I mean, what's coming out is still good. It's the Word of God. It's truth. And our soul ought to desire, if nothing else, the sincere milk of the Word of God. But if you really get to the point where you're starting to grow up, we're going to say, well, you know what? I want to study and show myself approved, a work of meat, and needeth not to be ashamed. I want some meat. My wife's been making, she made this batch of stuff she calls beef round over noodles. And my kids always like that. And she kind of made a batch of that on Monday, and we haven't been eating on it. And then we're all done, and then we head out of town tomorrow. So she said, well, that'll sit and have you all set up for the rest of the week until we leave town. And the fact is, it's good. It's nice that it's beefy, nice big chunk, you know, and chew on that for a while. And that's exactly what Psalm 1 says. It says to meditate on it day and night. Chew on it like a cud. Now, I know this is kind of gross, but you know how a cow does it? He'll go out there and he'll gather up a whole bunch of stuff and chew it up and put it in stomach number one. And then he kind of gathers up, and then he goes out and sits underneath the tree. And you wonder what in the world he's chewing. He's chewing on what he gathered up a couple hours ago. He brings it back up out of the holding tank of stomach number one. He chews on it a while. Digestion. Then he'll plant it down there in stomach number two. Now, I'm not a biologist, so I don't know how many stomachs he's got. Honestly, I only have one. You may not believe that I only have one, but they have a couple. They chew on it a while, and that's the way the Word of God is. We come here, and I dump all this stuff. You put it in your plate. Put it in your pocket. Make some marks in your Bible. Write it down on your paper. And I've had folks come back with their paper and say, "All right. I was looking at this. Now give me this again. Let me see, because that's where it's supposed to be. Take it home. Chew on it. Think this thing. Meditate day and night. And so some just like the process of all the hoopla. They're not really worried about a relationship with the bridegroom. We ought to be having a relationship with the bridegroom. Letter F. Should we publicize which ones are professors? No, we may tear out the good ones with the tares. Won't spend a lot of time on that. And it says, look at the produce. You can kind of tell who's who because of what they're producing. What they're producing. You really can. Won't go into that. Number three is where we ended up last time. We talked about the props. It says, they were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were all about the props. When I say that, watch this. Don't get mad at me, all right? We're all home folk here. I don't think. That's a prop. The holy water. It's a prop. Now, I think we should take care of the house that God has given the money to raise up to hold the family to get together. I think we need to take care of this. But watch. That table is not holier than any other table. I'm not holier than any other person. This is not, hang on. We all use the term the sanctuary. The sanctuary of God is in your heart. That's the one you need to keep clean. This is the place where the bride meets. Now, we should take very good care of it as best we can. God has given it to us. We ought to be good stewards of what He has given to us. But there's people who's almost superstitious about things. You know, no, wait a minute. A crucifix is a crucifix. It's just a piece of jewelry. It's not a good luck charm. Now, a rabbit's foot, that's important. No, I mean, listen. I mean, that's the way we think about it, isn't it? Yeah, I got my crucifix, so I know I'm safe. No, it's not about the props. It's not about the flash. It's not about the hoopla. It's about the bridegroom. Number four now, I think I've got to move in here. Number four, look at the prepared. In other words, there was people who were prepared, people who were not. Let's look at the ones who were prepared, the group that were the prepared people. Verse 4 says, but the wise took all oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, what good is a lamp without no life in it? What good is a lamp with no life in it? It's no good. In fact, you can bring that wick up, put it up high, and light that thing. And it's going to burn for a little bit, and it's going to be all over. You're not even going to have any wick left. All you're going to have is ashes. Letter B, the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. By the way, up to number four, it says the wise took oil. It means to take hold of, to possess, to grab a hold of. It's not just say, well, there it is, I got one, I'll come back if I need it. No, you possess it. In Sunday school, we talk about John the Baptist. He had God and God had him. We're supposed to abide in him and he in us. It's not just about it sitting over there. We should possess that oil. It should be who we are. It should be in us. And not only that, but that oil should possess us. I mean, you take the wick at a kerosene lamp and you put it down there in the oil. The wick is in the oil, but the oil is in the wick. You see? And that's exactly what he's saying about the Holy Spirit. We're in him when we get saved, but then we want him in us. We've got to have the power. It's the energy. It's the life. And fire continues on its own accord unless it's snuffed out or the fuel fails. So in other words, the fire will just keep going. You keep the oil. By the way, the oil never leaves us nor forsakes us. But I will say this. It can run low. That's when Christians burn out. They're saved, and that's about all the oil they have, just enough to keep the pilot light on. But you want to get to the point where you can turn that baby up and cooking with gas, you know? Woof! You want to see the flames of fire, which is what happened at Pentecost. They were with one accord, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was not just a pilot light on anymore. That came on in John 20:20 when he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But he says, you shall tarry in Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. They weren't going to be, listen, a pilot light's not going to be able to light the whole world. But I'll tell you what, you turn that baby up and you got the gas on, you got the Holy Spirit coming in full, and your cup runneth over. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He says, listen, he has, it's kind of like when they poured oil on Aaron, it went down and went all over his beard and everything. When they anointed him, it's not just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want as much as you'll give me, God. I want it all. I want to be filled with it. I'll tell you what, you're ready. We all need to be serving the Lord the best we can. But I tell you, you come to the point where you are just thirsty. I mean thirsty. Parched to have the Holy Spirit's power on your life. God will start doing something big. Letter C. It was a pail full. P-A-I-L. Like a bucket. But I put pail because it's alliterated P. You got all my P's here. But anyway, it was a pail full. It says that they had the vessel. Their vessels were full. That word vessel means pail. The wise not only had oil in their lamps, but they took a supply in a vessel. In other words, they were filled with the Spirit. They were ready. It wasn't just that there was oil available. but they possessed the oil. Listen, we can be fiddling with all the props, playing church, and still not be saved, have the Holy Spirit in us. So the wise not only had oil in their lamps, but they took a vessel full. They had the initial shine, but they had more than enough oil. They had an ongoing supply. Have you ever noticed there's some folks who get saved and they're a little flash in the pan and you never see them again? Well, let me back up and say it this way. They came forward and professed. They might have cried. They might have laughed. They might have did all kinds of things. This is just wonderful, great God, this is great. And they're gone about as quick as they come. It always scares me, it has for years, when somebody comes in, they join the church, and they want to do everything. They want to join this, want to join this, want to join this, want to join this. 9 times out of 10, within 3 weeks, they've already missed one or two. You call them up, the phone's cut off. They've already moved out of the place they were renting. You can't find hide nor hair of them. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. Now, I'm all for somebody getting all involved, but they're playing with the props. I'll tell you what somebody, I mean, I'm not, listen, we all should, if we really love the Lord, we're going to want to serve Him. Okay, we're going to want to do what we can. But I tell you what they're really going to want, they're going to want to spend some time with their bridegroom. They're going to want to listen to him talk. Listen to his hopes and his dreams. Huh, ladies? You know, you got to, you know, you when you found it, you just want to hear what he had to do, what we were saying, where he was going, and you wanted to go along. He had a vision for you. Great things were on your horizon because you're with the bridegroom. And that's the way it'll be with our relationship with Jesus. We can no more go with the bridegroom when he comes calling without the indwelling of the oil of the Holy Spirit than these maids could go with the bridegroom without the oil in their earthen vessels. You've got to be prepared. I gotta ask you, are you ready? I'm not asking if you played the game. I'm not asking if you participated. I'm not asking if you've got a house full of props. I'm asking, are you prepared? Is there really oil in your lamp? Or did you just get a wick and you've lit it and you're trying your best to keep the thing burning? Replace another wick. Or is there really oil? You know, wick will last a long time. I remember when I realized I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere, and I found this kerosene lamp. And it obviously had burned because it scorched the wick at the top. But most of the wick was way down in there. I mean, there was a lot of wick there. And you find there was a lot of wick. I mean, very seldom, but did it not already have a lot of wick in there? Well, what good was, I mean, didn't they ever burn these things? Yeah. They kept it full of oil. They kept it full of the accelerant. It was full of kerosene, and it burned the kerosene. Number 5, I want you to see the apathy. Couldn't come up with a P, so I'll pronounce it like Barney Fife, apathy. Okay? That's how he pronounced it, apathy. They got apathy. Apathy. Verse number 5 here, we have, while the bridegroom tarried, they all, look at that word, all, slumbered and slept. Tarried. It means to take one's time. He seemed to be taking his time in coming. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. Neither does anybody else. But he's coming. And we got to be ready. It says they slumbered. That word's the nod off. To be falling asleep. Even has the term, here's the one for your blank, lazy. I didn't put it in there. It was in the book. To nod off. So while they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, there was 5 that had the oil, 5 the five wise ones. The 5 foolish ones had no oil. But the fact is, the whole bunch of them just kind of got lazy. Apathetic. Well, I guess he's coming. Now, I know that the world says, where's the promise of his coming? Oh, he's not going to come and get you. No, he's not. Now, we know in our heart he's going to come. You know, we know, if you're saved, you know in your heart he's going to come. But sometimes we just kind of wait around. You know what? I wonder what those girls' hair looked like by the time he got there. You ever have bedhead? I get awful bedhead. My hair's so wiry, it's by the time I get done, it's a mess. Awful bedhead. I don't want to face my bridegroom with bedhead. But they slumbered and slept. The word slept there means to lie down to rest. Now it's one thing to kind of nod off and try to, but eventually, you know, they said, you know what, I don't know. And they curled up with a little pillow and went out back in the corner and laid down and slept. He'll show up sooner or later. Now think about that. Her bridegroom's coming.
She knows he's coming sometime, but you know, I'm really not all that excited.
I remember when I was a kid, the first time we were going to go to Hershey Park. No, I take that back. We were going to King's Dominion down in Virginia. I'd never been any place like that in my life. And we were going to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning because it was a big trip down there. It's 4 or 5 hours, and we were going to try to get down there by 10, 10:30. We'll spend all day and get the car and come back home. You know how much sleep I got that night? Very little. In fact, I tried to nod off, and I couldn't because I was excited about the prospects of the day. Isn't it a shame when the church is no longer excited about the prospects of the day? This could be the day. This could be the day. I think sometimes we just have gotten, I think some of us are like the ones who just have the vessels and don't have the oil. So we're not really all that excited because we just kind of thought the vessels were pretty cute. It'll fun, looks nice on my mantle. Everybody else got one, I want one too. Remember those Thai beanie babies? How many folks are still collecting them? There was a time when you couldn't get certain ones. You paid an arm and a leg. They were all enamored with what everybody else is doing. But then he found out it's a piece of cloth with some beans in it. And they're cute. And you got them, and now what? They get dusty. You throw them in the laundry, you can't take out them, they're never the same again. It was just a fad. It was props. Make sure your religion's not just props. Now, I don't know whether I gave this to you. Letter B, I said, I don't think I did this to you, did I? Yes, still not much outward difference. Between the two, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between the first bunch and the second bunch on the outside. The whole bunch of them are sleeping. The ones with the oil and the ones without the oil. And I wonder how many, watch me, I wonder how many non-possessing but professing church members are taking their cues from drowsy, possessing Christians, and they're not preparing for the imminent return of Christ because if no one else is concerned, then why should they be concerned? There are Christians who don't want to appear strangely overexcited about the things of God and Christ because they don't want to be thought weird. So they allow themselves to look just like the rest of the world. And then they wonder why the world's not excited. The difference is still in the fact that some possess to be ready for the bridegroom, and some actually possess, and there are the fact that some profess to be ready for the bridegroom, and then there are some who actually possess and are ready. All these versions appear to know one another, by the way. They're having these conversations. They're all in the same bunch. They're all there together. They appear to know one another. Maybe they're even friends. And watch, shouldn't the possessors cared enough for just the professors to remind each other to make sure they had oil in their vessel? Wouldn't you think? Did you get that oil yet? I know you've been kind of dragging your feet. You better make sure you're ready. I'll tell you, my mom, from the time I was about 9 to the time I got saved when I was 11, she just went on and on and on. She says, the rapture's going to happen. You better make sure you're ready because it's gone and you're going to be left here. It was a big to-do. And I'll tell you what, it got my attention. We ought to be telling folks. Instead, we're just
nodding off.
You ever notice when one person yawns, a whole bunch of them start yawning?
You know what I mean? One of those, I got a couple of you already. You know, just, you know, and I see I got you, Jane. You know, just, yeah.
Christians are doing the same thing in the rest of the world. We're nodding off, we're sleeping while we're waiting. And everybody else is just sleeping too. Number 6, the procrastination. The procrastination. Let's see what happened. Verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, a bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins, the wise ones and the foolish ones, arose and trimmed their lamps. They got it all ready. Got it going there. You know, if a kerosene lamp won't work, you just kind of cut the scorched part off and start fresh. And so they got it all trimmed. They trimmed their lamp and got it all decorated. That was really part of it too, by the way. It's apparently the decoration of the lamp. I mean, you know, it's like at Christmas time, you know, you can plop a candle in the middle of the table, you know, and it gives light, you know. But you don't do that. You put the wreaths around and you got one, or you get one of those candles that has all the fancy stuff on it. My mom always had one when after you put it away at the end of Christmas, there was glitter left all over the place. You had to get rid of it. You know, just kind of stuck around. It was there for 3 or 4 months. You couldn't get out of there. That glitter all over the candle, you know. And that's all part of it. So they all got up and they trimmed their lamps and made it look real good. Here I am. I'm ready for Jesus. I don't care how good we look when Jesus comes. I don't care if we have our fundamental outfits on and our fundamental haircuts on. And I can't, it doesn't matter. We have all this stuff. If all we're doing is dressed up. I'm not against looking. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm saying if that's all you got, you're not going with the bridegroom. Well, oil's messy. Might get on something. Blood's even messier. But if you don't have the blood, you don't have the life. You don't have the life, you don't have the light. You're not going anywhere. We may not be able to see the difference between the two different groups that are in amongst the church in these days until it's too late to do anything about it. They didn't go around peeking in their vessels to see if they had oil. Now maybe they should have checked to make sure you got it ready, but they weren't around peeking. They all were ready, maids ready to go. They all did things that are necessary to make the light burn. But only the ones that actually have the oil will burn continuously. The ones without the oil just go up in smoke. That's what happens when you light the wick. Number 7, it's personal. It's personal. Everyone only has as much grace, that's the working of the Holy Spirit, to care for their own darkness of sin. When it comes to this particular instance, in this particular parable, now you can give light to someone, help them desire to have their own light. You'll see some things here in a minute. Verse 8 says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That's because they only lit the wick. They didn't have any oil in it. What? No one can enter the light of the bridegroom's presence by the spiritual overflow of another. You cannot enter the bridegroom's presence with the spiritual overflow of somebody else. Well, my wife's a good woman. Well, you're not going on in there with her on her apron strings. Well, Grandma was a wonderful woman. Well, good for Grandma. But if you want to see her again, you better get some oil in your own lamp. Letter C, we come to Christ one by one as individuals. Individuals. Salvation does not come at a group rate. You've heard me say so many times, let's not play church. That's why, listen, this whole thing about the second coming of Christ, sometimes we need to know this because we need to have the warning, make sure you got oil in your lamp. But I have a little bit of hesitation because there are people who will get in the middle of this and they will spend most of their lives thinking about the second coming of Christ and all this stuff and try to figure out the third toe and Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and they're not even saved. They're playing games, they got the props, they heard the story, they're getting all caught up in the hoopla, but never bother to get some oil in their lamp. I'd rather have oil in your lamp and not know anything about when he's coming. Listen, there's some boys and girls who go to our church who got saved. They've trusted Christ as their Savior, so they can go to heaven one day. They have no idea he's about ready to come back and get the whole bunch of us. They don't even know that yet. They'll know it when it happens. I'd rather have them saved and going than known all the thing about the going, but not signed up with a ticket. It's personal. Letter D. Watch this. It costs the time and the energy and the submission to the situation to get the oil. There's no family deals. We're all individuals, and we all have to decide, okay, I am going to make this decision. I've had people who think I'm a little bit, of course, I'm redundant anyway, I understand. But when I ask somebody, do they know, you know, I don't just say, they come forward and say, are you a Christian? Well, good. I don't even say, are you saved? Well, good. Because people have redefined all those words these days. A Christian simply means somebody who's not a Muslim, not a Hindu, not a Buddhist, or anything else. Not a Hare Krishna or a Mooney or any of those other things. So whatever's left over, that must be a Christian. That's the general, that's the default religion. No! You know that you're sinners. Do you know that because you're sinning, you deserve death and hell? Do you believe Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sin? So you don't have to go to hell. So have you trusted him in your heart? Have you placed your trust in his death as full payment for your sin? That's why you have to explain it, because people just don't, they just don't get it. You take some time and energy. Submission to the situation. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's not as much fun as saying, I'll come to church on the Wednesday night right after Thanksgiving and help them decorate the building for Christmas. Now, you all can stay and help us decorate for Christmas on the Wednesday right after Thanksgiving. That's when we do it. So just put that on your calendar, the Wednesday night after church service, right after Thanksgiving, we'll get together and we'll bring all the stuff down out of the attic and Miss Kathy will probably be a armchair quarterback this year. We'll put this here and put this here and that kind of stuff. But we'll all decorate, and that's fine and dandy. And there's people who will come and do that. But don't talk to them about hell and their sin. That's just mean. Not nice. Letter E. We must be born again of the Spirit. The oil. The Spirit. We must be born again of the Spirit. John 3:3, I'll just quote it for you. You want to grab it quick, that's your business. Jesus answered and said unto him, the Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're not yet born of the Spirit, then there's no spirit in there to make you alive. You're not born again. Marvel not that I say it unto thee, ye must be born again. When he says marvel not, he says don't let it get you scared. Don't let you get you so amazed. Don't go off a deep end. Just accept the fact ye must be born again. Number eight, the pronouncement. Number eight, the pronouncement. We cannot wait until the deathbed to decide to get saved. That may be too late to get all the details worked out. You might even pray a prayer. But did you understand what we were doing? Listen, you just can't do it. Once the door is shut, watch, it's all over. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and they were ready, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Listen, end of verse 10. The door was shut. Now to be honest, I don't know who you are. I never met you. That's what Jesus is saying. Oh, well, I had my lamp all trimmed. I never met you. You were never in me. Matthew 7:18 says this, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And of course you know they said, well, what should we do that we do the works of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, that's the work. We're talking about that. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, would God actually just shut the door and leave some on the outside once they finally realized their need and wanted to come in after all? Well, I'm not going to go through it all there, but Genesis 6:16, it says, the window shalt thou make of the ark. It talks that there's going to be a door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. Genesis 7:15 says, and he went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all the flesh wherein the breath of life, and they went in male and female of all flesh as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Revelation 22:11, at the very end of all this, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The way you enter eternity is the way you stay. You've had fair warning. That's what it's saying. Please, if there's any doubt, make sure you got it ready. And that brings us to number nine, the plea, P-L-E-A, the plea. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Please, please, he's saying. All the virgins could have come. The only thing that stood in the way of the foolish five was that they just did not take the time to get ready. They had a lamp. They knew what was happening. They just slept away. Are all the details of your trip settled? He says, watch, therefore. Keep awake. Be vigilant. Arouse yourself. Collect your faculties. You had better pay very close attention that you are ready when the Son of Man comes. The wise ones were thoughtful. Weren't foolish. Don't let this stuff slide by. Well, one of these days. Well, one of these days. Well, one of these days. I'll have a chance. It'll be okay. We should warn the foolish. Some of us don't want to go around telling this because we don't want to be called an alarmist or a fanatic. If you're willing to own up to him before men, he's willing to own up to you before his Father. Sometimes we wonder why our prayers aren't getting answered. Because we're not willing to own him as our own in front of men. We don't want to be an opportunist sometimes, scare someone into getting saved. Oh, what a terrible thing. They got scared and didn't want to go to hell, and they prayed a prayer, and now they've received Christ as Savior and going to heaven. Oh, they're going to heaven, but it was with the wrong intentions. I had a guy one time tell me, he said, I'm saved. He said, to be honest with you, it really wasn't the right motivation. I said, what was it? Well, I didn't want to go to hell. Sounds a pretty good motivation to me. You know what that means? You believe that there's a God, you believe that there's really a hell, and you believe that there's really a Savior. And you call the name of the Lord to save you from that hell. Sounds like the gospel to me. That's why it's called good news. Scared or not, if they're saved, they're saved. I'm just beginning of all this. Let me read this to you real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Midnight cry. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overcome you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the light nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now here's the last application. Don't wait until it's too late to get the oil. There may be some here tonight who have actually been in church for years, walked the aisle, was immersed in the baptistry, got wet all over, served in the ministries for years, gone home tired from the service week after week, month after month, year after year, and you're still just outside decorating your lamp, putting on your church clothes, the wick's all trimmed and beautiful, but there's no oil in the vessel. And what's even worse? Sometimes we're just too proud to admit it, too embarrassed to confess it, and too foolish to fix it. That's hard. We better make sure we got oil in our lamp. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Thank you for these dear folks. And I'm very grateful for all that they do. But no matter what all they do, if they've never actually truly received Christ as their Savior, they've got the oil in the lamp, they're not going with the bridegroom. We're not going to be together for eternity. Holy Spirit, you're the one that reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In your tender, sweet way, would you woo them to Christ our Savior? We ask in Christ's name.